Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're watching and listening to the Cosmic Switchboard Show. Today, I have a dear friend of long acquaintance, Eve Lorgan, to share with us her insight about all things cosmic, spiritual warfare related, geopolitics, and living near the epicenter of where so much of the geoengineered warfare has been meted out. A quick point about that. It seems to me almost as if America is being segmented, divided up almost into FEMA regions with these quote unquote disasters here, these wildfires so-called here, et cetera, et cetera. It's like if I didn't know any better, parts of America were being segmented or isolated from other parts. And a quick comment about the election that just passed. I think that most people that have any self-worth and basic common sense, there's a sense of relief that the whack job, sadistic clown show, did not win the election. For those, there's always going to be the glass half empty types. I'll call them in this instance moderate liberals. At least they're not the foaming of the mouth variety. They're still griping and complaining and bitching about the results of the election, which tells me that maybe they're not so moderate liberal after all, because anyone who complains about the outcome, especially truthers, so-called, who are always bitching about how everyone's a controlled op and everything is a psyop. Anyone who complains about the results of the election, it means they don't believe in the will of the people. This is what the people wanted. The people are tired of immigrants stabbing them and shooting them and getting all these benefits. They're tired of the prices of everything going up. Even though Trump may not be able to make a wave a magic wand and change this, okay, instantly or otherwise, this is what the people wanted. This is what the people wanted 4 years ago, before that was stolen. Okay, so that's just my thoughts about it. I mean, breathe a sigh of relief. We're still on the brink of nuclear war. No time to be complacent. It's time actually to put the pedal to the metal. To that end, I have dear friend Evie Lorgan. And Evie was there pretty much at the epicenter. You don't have to give an exact location of where you're at, Eve, but if you wouldn't mind, welcome to the show again and tell us about the recovery efforts of your neck of the woods.
Well, it's good to have me on and speak with you again, James. It's always a pleasure. Yeah, there has been so much going on that has culminated with a lot of chaos, probably in different regions, of the country and of the world, and the elections. But if I, where I am in Western North Carolina, this is where we had the Hurricane Helene, which is really, they said it was a tropical storm, but it was much more because we had a lot of heavy rain even 2 days before the big kahuna moved in, and with the high winds and everything, and even more rain. So we got a lot of flooding, and yeah, so it's been a mess. But in my neighborhood specifically, I was lucky not to have a lot of damage. I had cracked trees and some flooding areas across my yard, but I prepared for it. But I thought it was interesting because I even knew 2 days before the storm that I wanted to prepare. There was no sandbags to even sandbag up the areas of my home that would need it if there was flooding. So I had to jimmy-rig things with like bags of soil and big water jugs and pieces of old flooring that I had used from a bathroom job, and like placing it against the, what do you call, the trap door of the, what we call the crawl space of our home. So I had to do all that and just kind of reinforce it and just hope that it would hold, and all the other areas that look like they would need it. So luckily that worked, and I was really glad because the water did raise up enough to have flooded the crawl space of my home. So, and I have a well and a septic tank, so there's always the concern of different kinds of contamination. And but really it was the blocked roads and the power outage and the cell phone outage and the internet outage and no water and for days on end. But luckily I had a generator, and I'm just kind of going off here because it was really stressful. I had PTSD, and I'm like, man, I study these things all the time about trauma, and I'm like, I have PTSD. This is like, and I didn't even, it wasn't even bad for me compared to what I heard about others. And I think it's just the when you see the damage that, like, well, Mother Nature, that she can do in like really big, like huge trees, like completely rooted up with big old roots and clumps of soil and, streets blocked and wires hanging all over the places and, floods that look like friggin' lakes. And then, like, I had three major roads that were blocked. So for 3 days, we couldn't go out because there was a flood on this end from a river, a flood on that end from a river, and a flood on that end from a flooded road. So we couldn't go anywhere. But luckily, we were able to move around. After like 3 days, I was able to pick up my mom and take her to my home so that we could have a place together to deal with this. Because once the food spoils in the fridge, and then you don't know if you could, like, she was on municipal water, which is lucky because some people, they still have running water, but then you don't know if it's contaminated. So then you could no longer do cooking or drinking or washing. Because of contamination issues. And so then it becomes like, I don't know what I'm going to do today. I don't know how I'm going to do what I need to do today. So every day was just like, well, spontaneous, this is what I'm going to do today. If I can't do this, that, or the other, I can do this. And so just working with neighbors and working with spontaneous, faith that something's going to work out. And thank God. I mean, I feel really lucky that I feel like my prayers worked. I feel like my dream warnings worked. But I was still surprised at the level of PTSD that I'm still experiencing from not only hearing about what our friend Craig, who actually visited me on his way back from his rescue operation with a team from another part of the state. And so they went up to an area that's about an hour north of me in Burnsville, which is, north of Asheville. So a lot of the areas that got hit real bad tended to be the more hilly and the more closer to rivers or streams, or where there were mudslides and landslides and just rivers that had overflown over flooded like more than like 8 to 10 feet. You're talking about 8 to 20 to 30 feet of floodwaters where it just takes out entire roads and trees and cars and houses. And then so but then the water did recede, but when you see where the water receded and what tree clumps and all that garbage that's left, and what's in the garbage, which I don't know if Craig told me, and I've heard this on the internet. I didn't see it personally, but the dead bodies and the parts and the dead things and things you, and then just missing people, lots of missing people and missing animals, and so that was that was disturbing to know there's all these people who just didn't make it. And I was watching a video, and I won't talk about this so much, but just to get it off my chest, because I just to keep up on the locals, like the local ministries had helped me clean up cracked trees in my yard for free, which was fantastic. So there's really good people who are doing wonderful things, who are mostly locals and people who are not part of the government per se. I forgot what I was going to say. It was just But I went to the FEMA center for help just to ask, but you can't really get help unless you lost your home or something for like lodging or something. So you really can't get what you need if you lost a lot. So and now I can't even remember what I was going to say. It was just that the PTSD when going in the center where you like wait and then they put you through these different stations, to sign up for, the FEMA and do their application with their people and then go through the different, tables set up. And it's a feeling that you get, like if you're not aware, that you pick up all the energies of the other people, and so you pick up the energies of the people who've lost it all, who've had deaths, who are just scared. And so I just like all of a sudden just felt like crying and just like running out of there, and it was like this overwhelming feeling of that. So that I realized this is just kind of like an egregore of the feelings of people when they go through a disaster. It's still like this big cloud that's surrounding the area because there's still like, I had to buy a Starlink. I still don't have internet. I still don't have adequate cellular to, it's only like one bar or two bars. So it's not adequate, and had to pay out of pocket a lot of things just to make do with what I had. So really, there's a lot of losses in this area, like economically, and the home repairs that the insurance companies won't cover. I mean, I don't need to go into it. It's just the realization of when those kind of things hit, our best efforts are if we can prepare and if we have friends that we meet in our neighborhood who are willing to help one another. So that's the good thing, because there was a lot of people who were just really willing to help and who made it worthwhile, to just feel safe,
You talked about the trauma. I've had Steve LaPlume on the show, and Steve was he's a combat veteran. He's a veteran of Rendlesham Forest, which in itself is traumatizing. He had what it amounted to a missing time abduction experience, and a bunch of other things that happened in his life. But he told me, and he said on my show, that he was in Thailand, if memory serves, either during or in the aftermath of the Boxing Day tsunami, if you remember that. And he said, the words that came out of him were like trauma, traumatizing. It was, the scenes of utter devastation. And there is, or probably perhaps more than one mountain town in North Carolina that had been completely washed away. I mean, I've seen before and after pictures. And it just makes me wonder, because they would have 3D topographical models, and so they would know which places were flood prone, which places to easily inundate and flood, what have you. To me, it's clear it was geoengineered, because it's over 300 miles inland from the ocean, and they're supposed to lose power, but it didn't. It intensified as it got over a mountain range. I wonder also if they had done as they had done in the past, open the sluices of dams to allow more water to come down. We know that weather weaponry has been used. There have been times, there was a time in Pakistan several years ago when just a ridiculous amount of rain came in a very short period of time and just wiped out thousands and thousands of people. To me, that smacked of weather weaponry, to have that much rain dumped, in a huge area of Pakistan. They have the means to do this. So you wanted to make a point about trauma as well. So I'll give the floor back to you, EB.
Well, it's that, I didn't think I would be feeling it as much as I did, because I was kind of trying to, take care of my mom too, keep her calmed down from all that, worry and stress, because, you don't know. Like, I think it's the water thing that really gets you the most, because you could be without power or internet or phone, which is not fun, but when you're without power and on a well system, or it has been affected by the damage in the infrastructure, that means no water. And no water is very serious, because you can, it's not long before you're dead without water. And then it was actually the contamination issues that concerned me when I heard about the big, gosh, Erwin, Tennessee, and the businesses that had the radioactive waste and other things that are very toxic to be in the environment downstream that are now in the waters. And that's actually downstream from us. But that was actually the biggest concern, I think, with even in Asheville, there's a lot of people who still don't have running water that's clean, really. So they have to boil it or filter it. And luckily, I do have running water because I have a well. So anyway, I don't want to go on about that. But I was warned in dreams also about the water issue and the contamination issues to be mindful of. Not, and this is not just bugs, like we think of, the usual things that give you traveler's diarrhea, that kind of thing. But I'm talking about radiological and chemical and extreme toxins that are very bad. So I was concerned about that. But on the other note, that I remember what I had forgotten when I was just got on a roll. There still are mountain communities that haven't gotten help in a month, and that people are still attending to and trying to find. So, and they're in higher elevations, or some of the just the more remote places. There's just a lot of really remote places out here. So, and they're hard to get to because the roads might have flooded out and the people can't communicate. So even now I found that For example, I had like one or two bars, one bar on my cell phone, cellular, whatever, because they're still screwed up, right? And then I had an Amazon delivery or something. And then they had to call me on my phone, and we were only like 4 miles away. And then our phone still didn't work to get a clear connection for him to even call me about a delivery that was like only a 4 mile distance. So those kind of things. So it's disrupting a lot. I think that the disruption itself, people hear about on the news and, oh, it's over in a week or two for the regular people who aren't in the thing, but this is going to go on for months and months for the disruptions and the rebuilding and really the acceptance of I think it's the acceptance of realizing this is the beginning of things that are to come in many different areas, and it's part of a whether or not it's the weather changes that are coming from, these cosmic, solar system or the planet X and all that, or we don't know really. So I've heard that there was meteors actually in Spain, because one of the people I'm corresponding with lives in Spain. They were talking about the Valencia flood. It's pretty severe, and that happened in a short period of time. Like in 8 hours, they got a whole year's worth of rain. So they were going through the same thing, and what was interesting is the Spanish people, they're very they're more passionate and vocal about how they feel. So their reactions to the government, when I guess I don't know what they would call him, he's they kind of have a monarchy kind of thing in Spain. But I guess when they visited him and his wife visited Valencia, people were just throwing mud at him, and they had to leave because they were so mad at like how the rescue help was delayed, or they just not enough. And I think that's the same thing that what was the stall all about? And I think it's a lot of it's bureaucratic. The local people tend to know the area well and can respond faster if they have the resources. So,
There
yeah.
seems to have been a deliberate stand down once again there in the aftermath of all this. They had plenty of assets there. I was reading an account or hearing about an account where this guy came up to U.S. Air Force PJs, parajumper rescues, right? Types. And they're in front of their helicopter, but they're not being deployed. So they're as useless as, pardon the Anunnaki, as useful as tits on a toad, right? And for those who don't think that the military under any administration would not do harm to their own citizens, they haven't been paying attention. This is not the same military of yesteryear. This is entirely changed over. On a perfect world, which is this is far from a perfect world, the new administration will sweep away every last vestige of Luciferianism, Bolshevism, wokeness, etc. But that's not going to happen. If they can get out enough of them and replace them with people that have, like a human soul, we might start to trend in the right direction. Point of relevance is those military types, those Air Force PJs, pararescue jumpers. They could have said, "Oh, F with the stand down orders. We're going to do what's right." Right. But the problem is, so many of these military types are paradigmatic thinkers. They only think in one way or the other, follow orders. The government narrative is always the correct one. They're going to take the path of least resistance. And just like water, which always takes the path of least resistance, eventually it'll be dropped off at its lowest point. So that's what we're going to see eventually with, the military and the police. They're just going to follow orders. So I think what people, one takeaway from the outside looking in, from what you and many others over there have endured is absolutely preparedness. Mike Adams is always talking about preparedness on his show. So it's just terrible what went on over there. And the fact that people up in the mountains are still without power, without resources, what have you, kudos to Craig and his team and others like his that went way up there on horseback, looking to help people, looking to find people, what have you. And that's the one good thing silver lining that has come out of this was to see communities come together and people helping people instead of waiting for the authorities, the feds to arrive. Instead, they became a hindrance, if anything, right, as usual. So it just a lesson in resilience.
Yeah. I mean, I thought I was prepped, and then when my generator broke after the fourth day, and then I realized I wasn't prepped in the ways that I thought I would for like cooking meals. But luckily, within 2 days after that, our power did return. And then some things that I bought through prepper channels, even one of them was like a crank up radio, and the other one was this like solar powered water heater thing that looks cool. It's like this big thermos thing. I won't say where I got them, but they were useless. I mean, the crank radio worked for a bit because we had to rely on radio to get news until I had enough of the internet or the data on my phone to even give me in when I started watching the YouTube channels. So I know I probably should get over this, but initially, like, oh, I can get a radio and hear a radio. I think it's an FM channel that was actually really good and giving updates on people and where they were at and what they needed, and people were helping people. But then when you came with the official news station, there's like an official TV station, news station, even the official radio stations, they were keeping a low, they were not really allowing in the discussion of what we were hearing about, like from our friend Craig, with the FEMA and the stand downs and the stonewalling of supplies and how come they weren't helping people, and like things that were happening that they just weren't talking about and they weren't willing to talk about. And so I got so angry since I just stopped listening to the radio, because once I was able to get online again and talk to see the real people who are really doing the reports. And there was a really good show. I think it's the Sean Ryan show. Is that his name? He's really famous. And he interviewed I think it was the bear guy, the two rescuers who are like ex-Black Op, super duper, hero types. And then hearing like the real stories of the rescues with the people in the helicopters, and that was like, wow, but I don't want to have it like an anti-government sentiment or anything. It's just that when bureaucracies get so large, they get in their own way, and then they can't really be as efficient as a small team to get something done. And that's where like our communities are our best hope, and our relationships and our communities, and that was a wake-up call, because I think so many of us have become isolated. Well, I don't know, people in our, let's say, our interest groups, whatever you want to call that. It's we talk about the normies versus the ones who are awake, or we think we're awake, or about the other things going on behind the scenes that others don't know about, such as the reality of human trafficking and mind control, and the ones who are running the show and hijacking many different sectors of society and keeping this human trafficking situation going to enable the predators and the larger predators that are still working through certain high power groups of people. Okay. So if people don't know that we've got a problem, because no problems will ever be solved unless they can get to the root of the cause of what I think is the corruption, which runs large bureaucracies and large groups. And anyway, so I'll stop there, because I can go on and on and on about, how can we solve this, but
The reason I brought it up was, this is the first real chance we've had to talk since all this. I was quite worried, having lost comms with you. And I'm not going to get on a government bashing tirade either. But once again, it's just the follow the orders mentality that I would like to have seen more of an effort. And also, the people that did get involved with the bureaucracies, rather, authority institutions, there was not enough people with a can-do attitude. Small groups of private people with land moving equipment, what have you, went up into some of those rural areas and did wonders. They reopened roads, they cleared debris, they helped find people, they helped find deceased people, because the powers that be had no interest. And it reminds me of the discussions. I don't remember if you actually spoke or corresponded. What was her name? Katie Lang. She was the one that survived Hurricane Andrew. and
Oh,
her,
Yankovic.
yeah,
Katie
Katie
Fred.
Meth.
Yes,
Yes.
yes.
Well, she talked about even before Hurricane Andrew hit, there were already these spooky black uniform SWAT type troops all over the place with their government vans, and they'd sealed off the peninsula, and then they hammered Florida with Hurricane Andrew, which was artificially generated. The
Yeah, they
media
trapped her. Yeah, I mean, I
totally
remember.
downplayed the number of casualties. There were casualties in the thousands, but they deliberately lied about the sheer number of fatalities. So I think that it's something similar to what just happened. We're never going to get an actual count of, just think of all the places that were hit with directed energy weapons and burnt to a crisp.
Yeah.
We'll never get an accurate accounting of all those people that were there. They're just gone. They're just written off the history books, right? And so it cycles back to what I said at the outset, that if I didn't know any better, and not to sound glass half full, this is or glass half empty rather, this is just an observation. If I didn't know any better, the country was being lopped off and segmented,
Yeah.
turning, areas where there's likely to be some degree of resistance, trying to render them uninhabitable, right? Huge swaths of states getting burned up. Still, we're under attack. This is the full spectrum dominance attack. Now, before we shift gears and talk about other things, give the listeners and viewers your review about what Starlink is, and forgive me for my ignorance. I don't really know what Starlink is. Is that a means to get on the internet?
Well, yeah, I mean, I didn't find out until I heard that because all the internet and cellular phone towers had gone out, and people didn't have communication in Asheville, for example. And I think it was Elon Musk, made an effort to give Rose. I don't know if you can hear me. Yeah, so then I heard about it. I said, "Well, what's that?" And then someone told me the website. Well, if you're in the disaster area and these, you can get a. I thought I can get a free one, but I got a discount for 30 days, and so you just buy like this big panel, and then a couple other devices, and hook it up to your phone as long as you get the app and the website to get the location, so it's hooked up to the satellites that are already in space to make the connection with the internet. So there's enough satellites now, I guess, to do internet connections once you have the Starlink set up instead of a regular Wi-Fi router and all that stuff. So that was helpful. I mean, I had to pay for mine, but otherwise, I would be without internet even now. And the phone. And it's like I couldn't do some serious legal things because of my internet and cell phone outage. So like, when you have to deal with like court cases and communications and jobs, and you're like, "Oh, I'm sorry, I can't do it because I'm in a disaster." And they don't really care if you're in a disaster or not. You just missed your court date. You know what I mean? So, yeah.
They're still fighting you, and
They're still caught up with whatever you
somehow the
want.
reminder letters get through. It's like, geez, what is
Yeah.
this, right?
Well, it's just like when you're in a survival thing where you can't worry about like what the chatter is on this or that, or like all your priorities completely change. And then, as facts, we got the feeling of what it feels like to be in a second or third world country where we're fighting to have clean water and food and power and not knowing, what your next day or week is going to be. And then the feeling of need and having to beg and not really getting what you're begging for sometimes. And then the feelings you get, let's say, of foreigners who've been in third world countries, the attitude that Americans have had, it just kind of overlook their needs and what they.
The complacency and the apathy that set
Yeah.
in.
It's just like the value system. We realize, oh my God, people's value systems are screwed up. Like there's people who own several homes, they live okay, they're not rich, but they're not poor and hurting, and they still don't give. to people who, if you don't give, they can die. So, like, there's something wrong with this equation. And then you start to realize this is serious. This is like, how could people be so self-absorbed in what they have and what they do to not understand that there's people's lives at stake that may come to an early end and actually have an effect on them and their family, but they're so self-absorbed that they have no idea. No idea that their selfishness and their whatever it is doesn't take into consideration that, in your neighborhood, you're next. You can be next. You better be careful. So, yeah.
That's what this and other similar events have shown, that any one of us could be struck with these challenges instantly, overnight. In no way would I compare what I've gone through with what happened over there. It's what happened over there was many times worse orders of magnitude. But there were two occasions in particular where I'm at, where we were absolutely hit with weather weaponry. There's no doubt in my mind, from my professional understanding of all this, right? The weather weaponry, what have you, the capabilities, which they've had these capabilities for some time now. We were cut off in a small beach town community. There were city buses that were trapped. They couldn't go forward, they couldn't go back. These were narrow, winding, mountainous roads. Only two ways to get in and out of these two beachside communities. And we had to walk through that, right? And I would look up, and the tops of trees were swaying. The wind was just crazy, didn't have power. And I think that people like us, and knowing what you know, we have to at some point, even though it's difficult and the resentment can build up when we think about it, but when we know this is geoengineered, when we know this is a deliberate attack on people and on the countryside in a specific locale, sometimes we have to just get on with the problem. We can't just wallow in the fact, oh, this is geo weaponry, this is bio weaponry, this is weather weaponry, woe is me. It's like, pal, you're in a combat zone now. The combat veterans in Afghanistan and Iraq may take issue with that. But if we as citizens are under geoengineering attack, bioweapons attack, they're opening the sluices of dams. I mean, in World War II, the Royal Air Force deliberately bombed the largest dams in the Ruhr Valley. And they lied about the casualties the German civilians suffered from that. Oh, only about 1,000 people. The Ruhr Valley is one of the most populated places to this day. And they deliberately targeted these large dams, and they flooded large parts of the Ruhr Valley and the people in it, right? So this notion that they only killed about 1,000 people by putting holes in these dams, that's nonsense,
That's where
right?
being a historian really counts. Like, if you can get the true witness testimonies of people in the area, or the histories that you don't hear about that are in like the private journals and stuff, then you can get a different look at history and how history has definitely been tweaked to, enable the victors or the predators or whoever they are to kind of not really let you know what it means when you're in a war and what how to act and how to prepare yourself. And there's a lot of people I think are not prepared, but sometimes you can't prepare for some things. Like, there's some people who may be prepped and but they couldn't, get everything in their house when it was going to be washed out in 15 minutes, and they had no idea. So there's a lot of things that some people just can't prepare for, and you just, do your best. But this whole thing about war, and I'm learning a lot, not only from you actually over the years, because of your study of military history, but learning from others. Like, there's actually a Christian guy, Dave Hodges had him on his show. Jamie Walden, I think he's a pastor also, but he's like an ex-Marine and does rescues and, was in Afghanistan, all these countries. So he knows like high level operations in war and how to think strategically and how to prepare strategically and know the enemy so that you know how to perform under these conditions and to survive. And most people don't have a clue. And that's kind of scary. It's like, if you don't know how they operate, And that just kind of goes back to understanding how they operate and knowing intuitively. I hate to sound paranoid, but if you can intuitively really pick up, I hate to say it, who is your enemy? Okay. So who is operating under those conditions that bring that sense up inside you, like this predatory enemy feeling? Then you have to nurture your connection with the truth inside so that you can tune in. Like I was tuning in and just praying that I was getting dreams. Okay. So that's how I do it. And sometimes actually just talking to somebody who has more knowledge than me also helps, so that I can be appropriately prepared, because I have a sense on things. Like, okay, I have a sense that this is not, like, I knew before this storm, it wasn't just going to be a storm. And this was a, in my dream, it was, I don't want to go into details, but it was like fending off the power of Leviathan in a region, and that it had its authority to do what it was doing, but only maybe in a certain way or with certain people or certain things. And so it was a way to protect, and if I could, this power of Leviathan that was going to come sweeping through the region. So that's what I picked up spiritually, which was kind of weird, you know, and I didn't expect to, but that's what I picked up. But yeah.
Everything that happens, just about everything that happens in our physical world, it was preceded by a thought or an action or something in the spirit world, right? Thoughts are things, thoughts are manifested essentially and drawn in from essentially the spirit world. So, because we're kind of antennas, two-way antennas, we can pick up on these things or guidance of the divine, God, call it what one will. Has this way at times, if we're open and receptive to it, to receive these kinds of messages. I've had many dreams in the past of tsunamis, of floods, of things of that nature, and many other people have had similar dreams as well. So it's our super consciousness picking up on possibilities, probabilities, possible future timelines, possible future outcomes. Kind of girding us and prepping us for what may come about. In the time you got left, you were just touching on issues a moment ago and earlier in our conversation about the hardcore issues that people are still oblivious to, right? This Nate, you talk about the Leviathan spirit, which is a predatory spirit essentially. So everything that played out in Western North Carolina, Eastern Tennessee, elsewhere, that had its origins in the minds of some twisted demonic people or beings that pass for people, and then they have the means and resources to bring it into reality. And here we are. What's your intuitive sense as far as what may be coming down the pike in the not too distant future?
Well, I mean, if I wanted to clarify, like I'm trying to get a deeper understanding of, I think depending on where we're at with our, let's say, our connection with the Most High, for me, it's through Christ, and it works that way, and it's eternal. Then there's a transcendent, always a higher authority that is good, that it, from a transcendent perspective, everything's like playing out. And then there's lower authorities that have the ability or the spiritual permissions to carry out whatever they're doing according to another plan, depending on the people and their alliances and where they're at with whatever, what we're here to do and be, and what we align with and what values that we want to hold. So in my dream, and this actually accords to spiritual warfare principles, that the more, let's say, the more open doors we have of things we're holding on to that we should let go of. Like if it's unforgiveness or resentment or vanity or pride or, you know, the sins or whatever, if we're holding on to these things or unresolved trauma or whatever it is, then that gives an authority over these other forces to basically mess with you. So if we can clean out what's in ourselves and in our community, and we can work with prayer, then that can help alleviate what could have just destroyed your entire home. And so that's what it was shown to me. And in the dream, there was several who were praying all together, like it was really really weird actually, but it worked because there was peace and there was stillness, even though you could feel the force inside the water, inside the waves coming. I felt the peace on top of the water through the people who we were all praying and what needed to be released to maintain the peace. To basically, we're a surfer. Was surfing over that one, and that was a lucky. I mean, I thought that was a grace of God. But in terms of things coming, I feel like there's going to be more roller coaster things because it seems like it's part of our era in history. And in some ways, I believe it's sifting the wheat from the chaff. And we have to decide, are we going to discern? Are we going to really be able to discern what's in our midst? Let's say you're on the battlefield or something, and you have to discern in a moment's notice based on this pure intuition or experience that comes to you what to do in any moment, because you can perceive the intentions and capabilities of a potential enemy or force. And so it's really learning how to connect with that ability, and that ability to connect with absolute truth of discernment inside of us. And that to me is like, well, that's an internal process. A lot of times that's internal, but also skill and experience, in these situations.
Those are things that we can all do individually. And no amount of YouTube channel hopping is going to bring that kind of desired outcome, that sense of peace, that sense of awareness, that sense of balance, come what may, right? That can only be garnered from doing the kind of work you suggested. Just endless YouTube channel hopping and endless workshops from this, that, or the other guru isn't going to do it. Someone has to be at peace eventually with themselves, because if they have to be they have to be receptive, right? Which means that the inner turmoil has to be subdued to a point to allow that kind of connection to be made. So one thing that I've taken away from all this is that any moment, once again, we could find ourselves in these types of scenarios. They're making a point of like wiping the slate clean, so to speak, for these places designated to be 15-minute smart cities, what have you. And, going forward, if the economy just keeps, falling off a cliff like it's been doing, and these wars and rumors of wars expand, we can begin to see all kinds of turmoil, unrest, what have you, in America, because we've never seen this kind of division. Now the people have spoken. There's a lot more of us than them, right? That's one takeaway from this. Another takeaway, that there's a lot more people that have common sense, account self accountability, self worth, guidance of the divine, than there are of these whack jobs. But these whack jobs are everywhere. And what they've managed to do with this cultural Marxism, which has infected all strata of society, is they've turned people against each other. They've made people bitter enemies. They've turned people into zealots and fanatics. It's not difficult to do. So there's definitely a spiritual component behind all this. So we'll delve into more of that in the member segment. Evie, if you want to give our listeners and viewers information how they can find you and your work.
Well, I keep it simple now. Unfortunately, I'm not on Facebook, and I know you've mentioned that, but I prefer just to do X, Twitter, and Telegram, and my own website. And sometimes I post on LinkedIn, and that's about it, really, and just email. And so, yeah, I'm hoping to work on a new article, and I've done some in Spanish and Italian in the past month, I believe. So those are actually pretty good, and we could talk a little bit more about that in the next segment on some of those things. So that's simple.
Cool. And to our dear listeners and viewers out there, if you like what we do, if you believe in what we do, please go to thecosmicswitchboard.com, sign up, become a member, and we'll see you at the top of the next segment.